Now, back to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 9:35 and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a first-time guest on the line, Rick Weidman, who is the Director of Business Development for AirMax Ecosystems. Welcome to the show, Rick.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Hey, it's our pleasure to have you. Rick, for our audience who may not be familiar with AirMax, can you describe the company, what it is that you all do?
Absolutely. AirMax began about 15 years ago, and what we have tried to do in the last 15 years is change people's concepts towards managing natural ponds and lakes. The earth bottom ponds, the large half acre, quarter acre, three quarter acre ponds that you see out in rural areas. We tried to come up with a simple, affordable, natural solutions to pond management, different from the current way that ponds are managed, which is more of a reactive process, which means if a problem exists, you treat it. AirMax is always trying to get people to anticipate the problem and fix it before it actually comes, giving the customer more time to enjoy the quality of their ponds throughout the course of the season.
And one of the things that I think the listening audience needs to know is that when you go to see kind of a pond that isn't meeting its potential, what are you looking at that pond that kind of that makes you reactive as a pond keeper? And then what would a pond that meets your expectations and accomplishments look like?
Well, obviously, a pond that we'd be concerned about would be one that has usually a lot of algae growth on it. Algae growth is the number one issue with pond owners. They during the warm seasons, there is an extreme amount of nutrients in each one of those bodies of water, which creates additional plant growth. It's not a harmful pond. It's not a bad pond. Fish still reside in it. It's a comfortable place for them. They don't mind it. We don't like it as humans. We don't like the way the pond looks, and we want to fix it. And the only way to fix it, the right way to fix it, is to actually apply a competition for those nutrients that are in that body of water. Currently, the first thing people do is react, and that's to kill the algae. But each time you kill the algae, more algae grows. It's the cycle of life. Something dies, something has to live again. So what we try to do is prevent the algae from growing in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so if we see a pond, to answer your question, the ideal pond out there is one that is clear and clean and looks healthy.
And healthy, doesn't have the bubblish algae over top of it, and you look down to it, and it's not just one entire field of grass, or I don't know what the plants are that grow.
What appears to be a pond that you can walk on. Right. A lot of cases, they have so much growth on it that it appears that it's not even a pond anymore. So right. there are situations that get that bad because of the excessive nutrients.
And if somebody has a pond that's in real bad shape, is there a substantial project ahead of them to react to that situation? Or can you put good things in motion and eventually have that pond solve itself?
Well, that's an excellent question. Getting back to our original philosophy of making pond care simple and affordable, it is simple to create it. Even if the pond is in its worst possible condition, obviously you have to react to it to clean it up quickly, and that is applying a chemical to that pond. But the follow-up is what's important. The follow-up is that you apply natural bacteria to the pond, or aeration, which in turn increases oxygen, which implies natural bacteria to the pond as well. Mm-hmm. But you're applying natural bacteria that compete for the same nutrients that the algae would feed on,
gotcha,
ultimately creating a clean, clear environment. So once you kill the algae, it's easy to stop additional algae growth by competing for those nutrients that the algae will feed on in the process.
Yeah, I was talking to a homeowner that was just proud as could be about his water garden or his natural pond in back. And the one he always heard that there was problems that people had, but he's never had it. And since he's got it, it just happened to come equipped with an aerator system. And he didn't understand what all the fuss was about.
Well, that's true. And again, if we were to talk to somebody today who was digging a pond, we would tell them to put an aerator in from the very beginning. Because if they did, they would extend the age of that pond. each pond ages naturally. When chemicals are applied, that pond sometimes ages exponentially,
right,
because of the amount of killing that is being done to the existing weeds. So by adding aeration, you keep your oxygen levels high. Ultimately, by keeping your oxygen levels high, you also keep your bacterial levels high. And if you do, you've got that natural occurring bacteria that are there as competition for all the algae, for all the nutrients that algae feeds on.
When somebody's thinking about doing this, that, you know, the historical approach, I think, was continually adding a copper sulfate type approach. Always be reactive when it showed up.
Correct.
That's not what you recommend or suggest, right?
Well, that's correct. And the reason is because copper sulfate does one thing. In a single word, it kills. And it kills everything in the pond. It is effective. I'll be the first to admit copper sulfate is effective at killing what's in the pond. But unfortunately, what it does, it actually kills the natural occurring bacteria that exist in that pond as well,
yeah,
virtually almost sterilizing the pond. And once sterilized, there's nothing to stop new algae growth from coming back again. That's why ponds that are treated with copper sulfate usually end up with a lot of organic debris on the bottom, what we call muck.
Mm-hmm.
And muck is one of the contributing factors to the nutrient source that exists within that body of water.
Awesome.
Right. And Rick, one of my experiences, I lived on a lake for many years, and whenever the treatments would take place, it ended up with me having to be out there raking the lake. And as you say, I would end up with a lot of the muck, which was very uncomfortable. You don't want to walk in it, and it just changes the experience. So how do you guys go about taking care of this so that if there is muck there, you clear it out and you don't have to spend all summer raking the lake on a regular basis?
Well, first of all, whenever you kill an excessive amount of weed, they should be mechanically moved from the pond. But there's a lot of muck that just accumulates. Even in good, clean ponds, muck has a tendency to accumulate because even though you can't see it, algae is constantly growing and dying within that body of water. Even if you've got a clear pond, it's growing and dying. So there will be an accumulation of muck. The best thing to do, and we have found, and it has really been one of the fastest growing and accepted ways to manage a pond, is by removing the muck. But a lot of people can't afford to remove the muck mechanically, which is through, you know, some type of dredging process. So we developed a natural bacteria that sinks down into the muck and actually consumes the muck.
Mm-hmm.
And the only negative byproduct, actually there is no negative byproduct, the only byproduct of that is a scentless, sightless gas called hydrogen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all. And so and with that application of the product that we call Muck Away, it will actually remove what we say up to 5 inches of muck per season. Now, wow, we've seen people get more and we've seen people get less, but mostly more because... Yeah. It's a product where you're treating the pond. You're not treating the entire pond. I mean, the first time we ever tested this product, we actually tested it on Lake Michigan, is where we got our first results. So somebody cleaned up a shoreline along Lake Michigan. So it's a natural occurring bacteria. All you're doing is placing additional quantities where you want them, and then that bacteria will consume and eradicate that muck, clearing it, usually, generally, clearing up a shoreline within a season's time.
Yeah, and so in a natural pond, there's going to be a balance of these bacteria, and what you're doing is tipping the balance in the favor of good versus evil, if you will. You know, one thing I'm because we're going to have to wrap it up here pretty soon. What I want to know is if I'm a person that's got property, how many of those people that have property are candidates for a natural pond? Is there something specific other than having enough acreage? What other goes into the idea if somebody's thinking about wanting a natural pond, who's a candidate and who's not?
Actually, anybody that has the property is a candidate for the pond. Obviously, water tables and the ability of the pond to hold water will be an issue. It always is when they're dug, or sometimes it is. But soil conditions, most of the soil conditions we deal with in the state of Michigan are compatible with holding water. And I would say anybody that wants one certainly could have one.
You may have to have some added soil supplementation.
There are some soil supplementations like sodium bentonite, which you add to the pond, which will help clog some of the pores where the water would naturally seep through.
Gotcha.
But again, it all depends on where it's dug and how it's dug and what the material is that's in the ground.
Interesting. Look. Rick, one of the other things that I noticed, having been to your website, one of the problems people have with ponds is that there are certain, I won't call them predators, but there are certain birds, whether it's swans or blue herons or even other wildlife, that can sometimes attack the live fish and other things you might have there. But you guys have come up with some amazing decoys to deal with them. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, there is no foolproof decoy for predators, but we do have some that have been very, very effective. Geese are generally an issue. People don't want a lot of geese landing in their pond. And so the placement of two swan decoys could actually keep geese from landing there. Also, it's a territorial issue. Also, there's a lot of, like, raccoons and minks and other animals that will slip into the pond and steal some fish, and maybe cats as well. But we've got a coyote decoy that is actually designed to help minimize the amount of predators that may come close to your pond. The coyote decoy is realistic looking in the sense that it's got a fur tail that blows in the wind, even though it's a plastic one. So, I mean, no foolproof solutions, but they do work.
Well, if people have used scarecrows for generations, then I've got to assume your decoys might do the same. Rick, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. We've been speaking this morning with Rick Weidman, the Director of Business Development for AirMax Ecosystems. And Rick, after the break, we're going to continue the conversation and talk a little bit about some of the fish and plants you might put in your outdoor pond and water garden right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.